And since it's a Kriya Satori day, we're running late, so I'm going to try to take a relatively short amount of time. Also, I understand you're learning brachas, and I'd like to, at some point, like give an introduction to Maseches Brachas, but I understand that it lends itself more to a groups in the evenings than in the morning. So Bezras Hashem, I hope to come sometime next week and actually give some of you a shiur on an introduction to Maseches Brachas. There's a very well-known Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim that talks about a very important topic. The topic that he talks about is certain things that are not mentioned clearly in the Torah and apparently are not things we're supposed to do. But how do we know that it's really the wrong thing to do? For example, the Ramban talks about if somebody speaks foul language, the Torah doesn't clearly at any point talk about what's wrong with it, although there is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which the Gemara in Ksubis darshins, that says probably the thing that angers HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything else if somebody speaks foul language. Okay? But nevertheless, where in the Torah does it say? Also, if somebody gorges himself and drinks excessively and gets drunk, there's nowhere in the Torah. The Torah tells you certain things you can eat, certain things you can't eat, but nowhere in the Torah does it actually say that you can't drink excessively. So how do we know? He says that if you do these things, you're called the novel Rishus HaTorah. You're a disgusting person, but it's within the Rishus of the Torah. And he talks about how do you know that there's something wrong with these things. So again, the truth is that what the Ramban says, I'm not going to go. The main thing he talks about, I'm not going to go into. I've learned that Ramban and taught that Ramban many, many times. But only recently, when reading it very carefully, and also a parallel Ramban on the Sisa Yosho Vahatov, that we're going to actually have in this coming week's parsha. So he says something that you have to read him very carefully to understand what he's talking about. But he says something quite remarkable, which I'm not going to go into today. But one of the things he does say is, we can learn from stories in the Torah. Right? For example, you find that Noah, because he had gotten drunk, he caused not very, very good things onto himself, and it created Canaan, this other Canaan. You find Lot, when he got drunk, so he produced Amon Moav, Le'yom and Amon Moav, Be'gavi Be'kal Hashem. So you see clearly it's something that has negative consequences. And that's one of the ways the Ramban says we can learn that certain things are wrong. In terms of speaking not properly, so the real truth is, I want to concentrate on that this morning. The real truth is, at the beginning of the week, we commemorated Tisha B'Av, and we think we're past Tisha B'Av, right? In a certain sense, we are. I see most of you last time I came were not clean shaven, and now most of you are clean shaven, right? So we're past Tisha B'Av in a certain sense. But the truth is, in another sense, we're not. What do I mean by that? Chazal tell us that when the people died over the years, over the 38 years, right, because of the chait of the Amaraglim, so not only did they die, but it was a very, very tough way in which they died. That every year on Tisha B'Av, they had to, right before Tisha, they had to dig graves, their own grave, and actually go into the grave. Right? And the next morning, some people would get up, and other people would not get up. And that happened for all the years until finally the Gzeira was over. Can you imagine what a traumatic way, right, of dying or even of living, that those who found out that they're going to be alive for at least another year. It was a tremendously traumatic experience. In fact, so much so, when the last year they dug those graves and everybody went in and they found out on Tisha B'Av the next morning that everybody was alive, right? They couldn't believe it. they were so traumatized by the experience of all these years that they said, they looked at the new moon, that's usually where they figured out in those times what period of the month it is, and they figured, hey, maybe it's not the right time of the month. So they continued another day and another day of digging their graves and going into it, until finally, tomorrow, Tu B'Av, so they realized it's a full moon, it's the middle of the month, so obviously it already has to be past Tisha B'Av, and that's when they finally realized, ah, the Gzeira of the Misa, of all the years because of the Chet HaMeraglim, it finally ended. And Chazal tell us in Gemara Tainis Lo Hayoyamim Tovim BeYisrael that Tu B'Av, which is tomorrow, was one of the happiest days of the year. Yom Kippur with Mechil and Kapara, and Tu B'Av were the most happiest days of the year. And a bunch of things are listed which happened, and one of them is Shekolubo Meisei Midbar. That's finally when they realized that the Meisei Midbar had come to an end. So we see a tremendous power of the hate of the Meraglim when they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. In fact, not only that, like what precisely was the hate, as the Ramban and many other Mepharshim ask, Moshe tells them to go spy the land, they do that. He tells them to take fruit and to report on the fruit, they do that. So what did they do wrong? So there are many Mepharshim that have different answers. The Ramban himself says that actually the chait consisted of one word. And that's what they said, Efes ki az ha'aretz. They said, Efes, right? Everything they reported according to Ramban was exactly as they were told. But they said Efes, which means, same thing as it means in modern Hebrew, Efes means impossible, zero probability. What they said, we can't possibly capture Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says that was the chait. You want to report, you want to say it's difficult, fine. But where do you come across saying that it's impossible? You're talking about a Kadosh Baruch. So the Ramban says for that one word, they went through those traumatic 38 years where they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and those that died, died in such an awful fashion because of one word. So we see the power of dibur, power of words in the Torah. In fact, we just started Sefer Devarim, but actually one of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, one of the five Svarim in the Torah, all speaks about the koach of dibur, and that's Sefer Bamidbar. That there's a Medrash that said Bamidbar comes from the Lashon of dibur. And the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that he says, "Kechut hashani sifso sayich umidbarech nove." So midbarech nove means your words are nove. So you see clearly that by midbar, midbarech is a lashon of dibur. And if you look at the whole sefer, starting, let's say, with the chait of Miriam, who spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, right? What? The Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke only to Moshe, spoke all to all of us. Why does he have to separate from his wife? So what happens? Miriam gets saras. Paiso can't move on at that point. They have to remain stationed. And Moshe's mispalel, a very concise prayer, maybe to show the koach of dibur. You see the consequences of dibur. The next parsha shalach, the chait of the meraglim, where Rashi says they didn't learn the lesson from Miriam. So again, as we just pointed out, the tremendous, tremendous koach of dibur by the chait expressed by the chait of Meraglim, one word, and look what happened. Then we go on to Korach, who sort of learned from Miriam. Miriam said, what, Akash Baruch Hu spoke only to us. He also said, what, is only Moshe Kadosh? The whole Am is Kulam Kedoshim. And look at the consequences of the story of Korach, right? With the people that were with him, they were swallowed into the ground. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of hitting, is talking to the rock. So what does he do? He hits the rock. So what's so terrible? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the koach of dibur, that even a rock will react to dibur. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. You see the unbelievable consequences of dibur. Then you have Bilam, right? story of Bilam. Chazal tell us that Bilam was able to curse. So what would he have already cursed? So Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed great kindness during that particular period, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to get angry for a moment every day. Right? How long is that moment? Rega. How much is Rega? Remember, as long as it takes to say Rega. Right? So Tosis asks, what could he have cursed? What could he have said in such a short period of time? So Tosis answers, he could have said Kalein, destroy them. Right? Which is the same amount as long as it takes to say Rega. So again, you see unbelievable koach of dibur. With that one word, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, he would have been able to wipe out all of Klal Yisrael. And then you see the Asam that speaks, and even the halachas of Sefer Bamidbar, it's the halachas of Nedarim and Nezirus, which also shows you the great halos of Dibur, that Dibur can create the halos that has to be undone. So a whole Sefer Bamidbar teaches you the power of words, how powerful words are. So Memela, obviously you can learn that if somebody speaks the wrong type of words, he talks in evil pair, obviously that's a very, very serious thing. Of course, it also teaches of the opposite. The koach of words, if used properly, you know, how much it can get done. Right? If you say a kind word, if you don't use it properly, you embarrass a friend. Chazal say, kilu shofach dam. You use it properly, and wow, what you can accomplish. A kind word can really sometimes have such an effect on a person. When you get married, you say you're sorry, that could change the tone of a marriage. Right? Or the opposite, you praise your wife, she praises you. Words are tremendously, tremendously powerful, and that's really a great, great lesson that we should learn from the story of Cheta Meraglim and all of the stories that we've learned the last 12 or so weeks. Obviously, you're doing the best thing you could possibly do with words. You're learning Torah, you're davening, and I hope you're saying nice things to your friends as well. And therefore, it's a tremendous, tremendous thing that you're here and using the words to the best possible capabilities that you can. I just want to finish off by saying that it's such a pleasure and such a great schus for us to be part of this kol. And people could go who knows where for the summer. They can go to horseback riding camps and who knows what. Right? You come here and it's a great, great camp. Rabbi Benowitz and his staff really make it a very enjoyable period. But I'm around and I've been around the last year. It's mostly for 6-7 hours a day you're sitting and learning. It's a remarkable, remarkable thought of what you guys are doing with your summer and really enjoying it. And therefore, it's a tremendous, tremendous nachas and pleasure for us to be partners in that endeavor and continue, you know, the rest of the summer in that fashion. And again, I think it's a very important lesson to learn how powerful words are in terms of the way you talk to a friend and the way you talk to neighbors, the way you talk to parents. And obviously, when you use it to the best possible use of learning Torah and davening, so you're doing great things with Dibur. And we hope that Be'ezus Hashem will have a tremendous effect on you and on Klal Yisrael as well.